The Association of Classical and Christian Schools presents Repairing the Ruins, the 2017 ACCS Annual Conference, copyright 2017. You may make additional copies of this recording for use by your school, but please do not sell any copies of the recording. Learn more about classical Christian education and the ACCS at classicalchristian.org.
Centaurae Historium. Say that with me. Centaurae Historium. One more time. Come on, everybody. Centaurae Historium. My name is Michelle Higgins, and we're from Care Paravel Latin School in Topeka, Kansas. And we are very excited to be here and show you a little bit of our history program. Would you please pray with me? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this opportunity to share ideas with one another today and this week. And Lord, we just thank you for being with us and being our God. And we ask that you just bless this next hour as we present. Give us all calmness and help us to enjoy each other. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, that was just a little snippet of our history songs and our actions. And one of the things you will learn about Care Paravel is that we love costumes. So we're all about the costumes and singing, and so we always have costumes, and we thought, well, we'll just show you a little bit of ourselves today by doing that. Our mission and goal at Care Paravel is to expose, that's kind of my key word, expose students to what happened, reasons why it happened, and to expose them to the possible experiences that those who witnessed it firsthand. So we like for them to be able to be in their shoes. We believe that history is best learned and remembered when students are able to become interactive. We believe teaching classically includes gathering from the past and then using all the senses. We believe that students develop a sense of wonder when they memorize, which is the grammar stage, and they criticize, which is the logic stage, and then when they perform it, which is the rhetoric stage, rather than just being merely hearing it and seeing it, we want them to come alive with it and feel it and touch it. Incorporating the trivium into every aspect of our curriculum means including these three elements: the grammar stage, logic stage, and rhetoric. We want it to become alive. It will not come alive by merely hearing it. Usually we begin our year with our timeline, and this is one. The Veritas and Bible cards give us a great structure and chronology for that, and so that helps, that gives us a great springboard, but then it's our job to make it come alive. We are going to give you a few ways of the way we've gone about doing it, the way we've enriched those cards and throughout the year and the timeline. We've come to share some, we have pictures and some videos of what we do, and hopefully you will get a few ideas of things that you can do or adapt, or if you're like me, sometimes just seeing something will make me think of something else. So we are going to show you our history. We aren't going to show a lot of Bible right here, but we, at each of our individual tables, we have Bible things to share as well. All right. Yeah, okay. So, girls, come on up.
Hi, I am Leslie Walker, and I teach second grade.
I'm Kathy Gunther, and I teach second grade.
And in our study of the Egyptian culture, we have a big event at the end of the year that we call it our Egyptian festival. And through that, the kids sing songs, they recite poetry that they've learned throughout the year. And then collectively through that, the kids go from station to station that we help, the parents help set up with us, and we divide the kids into groups. And you're going to see a few clips of some things that we're going to talk about here in just a minute.
This is a little girl in our second grade class this past year, and this is what we looked like on the day of our Egyptian festival. You can see that Mrs. Walker and I also are in costume for that. The poster board behind Adri is something we work on throughout the whole year. Our art teacher comes to our class once a week, and she creates five projects that incorporate the world history timeline. And these projects are just interspersed throughout the whole school year. And it's not crafts. She brings in texture and drawings and etchings that all have to do with Egyptian history.
Then we have three clips forward here. And this is going to kind of give you a little bit of a flavor of what we do on our Egyptian festival. So the first one is a song that says, "Go Down, Moses." And so we just have created, there's no... kids between the two of our classes, and we just made up. You can just make up your hand motions with them. The next one is my class, and we are doing a poem called Pyramid, Pyramid. And so we just made up hand motions for this little poem right here.
During our Egyptian festival, we also perform Pharaoh, Pharaoh, which is a real highlight because we bring down the students all over the school. Parents are there, and we make them participate, and they want to participate and have a great time. So this festival at the end, which we'll talk more about when you go over to our little table, is just poetry, dance, song, activities to just finish the year with all that we've studied.
Pyramid up, 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 pyramid up
There you go. That's Egypt for you.
Hi, I am Darla Haas, and I am one of our third grade teachers, and our historical period covers from ancient Greece to ancient Rome. And if you teach this curriculum, you know that the majority of the big events really do happen the first 6 weeks of school, according to the timeline. And so we hit it off right at the beginning of the year with our first big project that we do, which is the Trojan War reenactment. And we really, along with telling the stories, we tell it in various different forms, but we wanted to make it our own by having the students actually become the Greeks. And so they construct their own Trojan horse. And yes, it is a very rough Trojan horse, but you know, they can actually get inside of it. We have this frame that we reuse year after year, but they each year will reconstruct the sides of our horse because we wanted it to be their own. They cut it out, they paint it, and then the day of the actual invasion, we have them come and they can bring helmets and swords. And what we have done is we invade all of the older students. So we teach this in third grade. So we will go and invade the classrooms of the fourth, fifth, and sixth graders who have done this in the past. Their job then is to be the dying Trojans. And so you're going to see a clip here of what it looks like with us bringing the horse inside of one of the classrooms and the battle that ensues.
So one morning, the Trojans woke up and they looked outside the city walls, and all they saw out there on the shore was this huge wooden horse. But no Greek ships, no Greek warriors. Everyone was gone. The only thing that remained was this ship. And they thought, well, surely that means the war is over. And so they decided that this was supposed to have been meant as an offering for the goddess Athena.
The goddess of war.
Athena. And so they said, let us bring it into our city and offer it as a sacrifice. And so that is what they did. And then they had a big party and they celebrated.
This is the fifth grade classroom.
They thought the war was over, and so they had no need to worry, and they all went fast asleep, the first peaceful sleep in almost 10 years. While they were sleeping, though, the soldiers that were inside the horse crept out. One of them waved to the Greeks that had been hiding on the other side of the island shore to sneak inside the city and surround all of the sleeping Trojans who had no idea that their world was about to end. Once all of the soldiers had crept inside the city, the battle began! Until we clean out our recycling bins that day by throwing paper balls. And so, you know, of course, the Trojans all die and the Greeks carry Helen off back safely back to Greece. And it's fabulous not only for the third graders, but the older kids get to relive. And I didn't ask as many questions on this clip, but I ask them questions to make sure they're remembering all of the facts of the Trojan War. So this is a great little shot showing them after the fact with their victory and their great prize. So the next thing we have, we move into our Greek Olympic celebration. And what we do is divide each of our students into city-states, just like the ancient Greeks would have been. So they become Athenians, they become Spartans or Argives or Corinthians, and we explain to them the difference between each, what those city-states were. They design their own banner or flag for that city-state, and they compete in a variety of different games, such as our chariot race with wagons. We have an equestrian race with stick horses and javelin throws and all of that. And then we end our celebration day with a Greek feast, with them all receiving their olive wreath as their reward. We also, when we are studying the Phoenicians, we learn about the reddish-purple dye of the Phoenicians. And so, of course, that leads us to needing to tie-dye shirts. So we make tie-dye shirts, and we study the alphabet of the Phoenicians, and they get to paint their name on their shirts using the Phoenician alphabet, and we have samples of those over here. At the end of the year, we have our kids do some projects where they are choosing something from either Greece or Rome to commemorate, and they have to do a presentation in front of the class and sometimes as well parents, where they can choose to create aqueducts. Like you can see, we get a lot of Mount Vesuvius volcanoes that they want to erupt. We have labyrinths with minotaurs and various projects, and they also do poetry memorizations as the second graders did. So thank you. That is third grade, and we'll move on to fourth.
I did forget to say that we are going to give you an email address so that you, or you're going to give us your email address. So if you want those kind of things, and just so you're not furiously taking notes.
Hello, I'm Julie Conroy.
And I am Sherry Farwell.
And we are the fourth grade teachers at Care Paraville. Our time period is Middle Ages, Renaissance, and Reformation. And we've also brought some video clips to share. Our first one is going to be of the history song and dance. We've made up a dance to go with the song. And in the background, you'll be able to see the history boards that the students prepare to share on Renaissance Day. Of our final poem we do in the year, and it's called The High Calling.
We are called to the high.
that poem, it's near and dear to my heart because I know you all pray for your students, and I do too, and for the students of our school. And it was one of those midnight hours of prayers, and I just wrote the poem for our kids. And you also could either adapt it or write something special for your school, but it's been a treasure for us and for me.
Our final project for the year is the Renaissance Fair. Throughout the year, we have worked on various projects that you would see on the history display boards. There are different art projects and things. After we have performed our song and dance for parents, they have the chance to walk around and see the Renaissance Fair, which we also open up to students throughout the school. They come and visit various booths. There's face painting, hair, there's different games and activities, Renaissance music playing. This will be a short clip. You can see what that looks like.
One of the fifth grade teachers, and our Bible starts with the Gospels, and then our history. We begin with the explorers, Prince Henry to 1815, around Lewis and Clark. And our first thing that we're going to be doing is about our harvest banquet. A little bit known is that the harvest was really at the end of October and not in the end of November, but we celebrate after we've studied the Mayflower and the Puritans and all of those cards. We have a celebration, and this is a fun photo op for the parents, and we encourage the dads and the moms to dress up, so it's really fun, and everybody has a great time. And we have a big banquet that is very similar to a Thanksgiving type of celebration. You can see the next slide will show just, you know, what a big buffet looks like. So we had a great time doing that. And then here's just a picture of, I let the students choose whether they want to be a Native American or if they want to be a pilgrim. And so they get to dress up. One of the things we do at that is we have a performance where we have a poem recitation called Abundance, and they do it in a choral recitation type of way. And then we have some songs, and we sing some hymns that we think that they would have sung. We gather together, and the doxology and some things like that. Let's see. And then later on in the year, we have some other things, taxation without representation. We also have a colony simulation that we do. And then at the end of the year, the students at the beginning of the year are given assigned a historical figure, and they study historical figure all throughout the year, and then at the end of the year they will have what we have, a living history museum. And this we recite Paul Revere's Ride as a choral recitation as well, and this is just a snippet of that, and then it will lead into our Living History Day where the students will perform that, and I'll talk about that in a minute.
Remembers that famous day and year. He said to his friends,
We, that's not all of Paul Revere, by the way. No, no, not at all. Oh, yeah, it's pages and pages, and no, it's not the whole poem, but that's, you can see, fairly lengthy to get 40 kids to jig and jack. So, yeah, yeah, but we just did part of it. Anyway, so we also do some other things with the Pledge of Allegiance, and anyway, just a whole program that I can share with you later. And then right next is a little girl who's pretending to be William Clark, and you'll see what she does for our living history. Just about a 2-minute speech that they figure out.
Hello there. I'm William Clark. I was born August 1st, 1770 in Virginia to John and Ann Clark. I had 8 older siblings and 1 younger sister. I had no formal education, but my 2 oldest brothers did. I had many great accomplishments. One was doctoring up Indians. By the time the Port of Discovery was on its way home, we were completely out of items to trade with the Indians. On April 28th, several injured Indians came to me. One had sore eyes and several had broken bones. I gave them medicine and set their broken legs, and that, we found, was a service we could trade with. We were so close to the ocean now, we could almost taste it. On November 7, 1805, the river opened. A year and a half of struggle and hard work was rewarded with accomplishment.
Hello, or I should say Hattie. My name's Marion Key. I was going to say I was the head administrator, Melody Congdon, so that you wouldn't really know who I was, but she's in here, so I would be busted. Anyway, I teach the American history, 1815 through the present, and we start we hit the ground running in sixth grade. With the very beginning of the year, we start what's called a Fort Project. Because our history is all about, you know, expanding the country, manifest destiny from sea to shining sea and everything like that, we start with the Fort Project to help us understand what it took to settle the country and, you know, the dangers involved. And so, you know, that's why the forts, they find out the purpose of their fort. Why was it built? Well, it was built to protect the settlers, or it was built to house soldiers for the Indian Wars. So the kids do a number of different things. They research, they write an essay, they do a presentation in costume, they build a physical model to scale. Well, it's not to scale, but and they also, we integrate computer into that, and they do a Google SketchUp. So this is just one of the kids with their fort project. We also have a fort open house where the kids from the lower grades can come in and parents can come in, and the kids will stand up and kind of give a virtual tour of their fort. And so they're dressed in costume to sort of help them get a little bit more of an idea, to help the audience get a more of an idea of the time period of the particular fort. The next thing we do is an Underground Railroad reenactment. And this is a pretty big undertaking. And I have to say, if you notice throughout all of our festivals and everything like that, you'll see a lot of parents hanging around. That's because we can't do any of this without parent support. Our parents are amazing. And the way that they help us, you know, not only are they a part of this Underground Railroad simulation as far as being a part of the action, but they're also behind the scenes, you know, putting things together. But this is my intention with this, is that the kids get a little bit of an experience of, you know, what a fugitive might have gone through. They themselves are not in uniform because they get dirty, because they might be asked to do something on the ground, picking up stuff and so forth. And I'll give you guys all the information you need when you come visit me. But the stations vary, and we've got several different routes, but we try to stay, all the stations are of historical people, people that were legit members of the Underground Railroad network, or abolitionists, or conductors. And here you see one of the girls went through the boar-infested forest, and she was bitten up, and so they are being bandaged tenderly by Laura Haviland. These are just two of the different settings that we create. And, you know, we have living rooms, kitchens, general stores. We have a dugout cave, just lots of different things. But the whole point is to help them understand what it might have felt like a little bit. And that's Henry Box Brown. And then this is just, again, this is just the day of. Behind the scenes, there's about double that of parents and friends and people that just, you know, help. Our last one that we do is an immigration simulation. I don't have pictures. I didn't think about it when I was doing it. But it's a really simple thing to help the kids get involved. They get a paper bag from, you know, like a grocery bag, and like a week before. And I just give them a little paper that tells them what they need. You know, this is pack what you think you need. You're going to another country. That's all that they know. And then we set up chairs to simulate the boat and things like that. And in the process of our journey, some are, you know, go overboard and things like that. Some are rejected at Ellis Island or Castle Garden. But my goal is that they feel a little bit maybe of the frustration, the anticipation, and the rejection felt by many of their ancestors. I mean, we're all immigrant children or children of immigrants or grandchildren and so on. So that's sixth grade in a nutshell.